You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I'm answering a question from Julia in New York. And her question is specifically about when a child tells us, don't talk to me or leave me alone. Gosh, if I had a dime for every time someone said that to me, I would be rich. So I'm going to read her question and we'll dive into the details of what's going on with her specific client. And then we'll talk through when kids don't want us to engage verbally in play sessions and how we can best handle that. So Julia, thanks so much for the email and thanks for reaching out. By the way, if you all have a question that you would like to ask, you can always email me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. You can also leave a message on the voicemail line in the States, which is 813-812-5525. All right, so let me read parts of Julia's email and then we'll dive in and talk through this. So she says, I have found my calling in being a child-centered play therapist, haven't we all? Congrats, welcome to the club. She says, I've been evangelizing this model to anyone who will listen to me and can't get enough of the content that you put out. Well, thank you. I'm so glad to have you. All right. So my question is about a three-year-old boy that I've had five sessions with so far. During the fifth session, he began to say things like, leave me alone or don't talk to me when I reflected feeling, reflected content, or tracked behavior. I was not sure in the moment whether to stop talking or continue as I had been. So I ended up splitting the difference and just letting a little bit more time go by in between my reflective responses. This child eventually said he was done playing and left the room. And now for the rest of you, she says, for context, I work with a foster care agency in New York and provide in-home child-centered play therapy. So that's noteworthy because the child left the room in the home and Julia was actually in the child's home providing sessions. So then the follow-up question, what does it mean when a child tells you to leave them alone? And does that indicate a play theme? Should I have allowed him to end the play session early? So kind of like two questions, I guess, at the end. And we'll definitely dive into that because it's all related. Okay, so let's begin with understanding what's going on if a child says, leave me alone or don't talk to me. So we can look at this in one of two ways. The first is you are five sessions in and he's young. So we know that the younger the child, typically, the more quickly they move through stages and phases. And we know that resistance phase is early on in the process. So if we're looking at fifth session with a three-year-old, we can almost guarantee that this is resistance-based. So we would absolutely document that. We would be mindful that that is probably what's driving the behavior. And then we acknowledge that it will be a short-term phase and the child will work through that and then shortly thereafter move into work. Okay, so we could chalk it up as resistance and move on. However, there's another option. If a child says things like that, it can also be power and control driven. Now, in this case, it could be a little bit of both, but it's important to note that whenever this kind of situation arises, we need to filter it through one of those two options. So is this resistance or is this power and control? You can typically get a sense of which one it is based on the tone. In other words, is the child saying, don't talk to me, because they're just trying to control you and it's authoritarian and it's dictatorial and I'm the boss and you have to do what I say. And if I tell you to shut up, then you better shut up. Can you tell that I've heard these phrases my whole 20 years? I can quote them verbatim. If you say one more word, you're going to jail for 100,000 years. Okay. So if it's presented that way, then we know it's almost always going to be a power and control issue. However, if the vibe is that it's avoidant, meaning I feel really uncomfortable, this is starting to get real, I know the work that I need to do, and the more you say things, the more real this becomes, and this is really unnerving me, so just stop, then we know it's likely resistance. Okay. So we need to be able to look at the aura of what's being said, not just the words. And that's probably for a whole other episode. I actually might make a note of that as we speak. But we need to be mindful that the words that are said are usually not what we should be paying attention to. Because if we look at just the words, it can lead us into a very different perspective than if we see things in the greater scheme. And so, again, we're going to hear a child say, leave me alone or don't talk to me. But we're going to say, okay, this is either going to be power and control or it's going to be resistance. Let me see which one seems to align the most accurately. And therefore, that's how you can understand what's happening. So that's my first thought. Secondly, and we talk about this a lot in the collective as well as in the coaching groups, we can't do our job without talking. So the idea that we're going to, quote, do what I say because I'm the boss and I told you not to talk, so you are done the rest of the session. Well, if we were to do that, not only is that not therapeutically valuable, it's bordering on unethical and it's unprofessional. Because we do our jobs by using verbal skills interacting with kids. Now, is the verbal interaction the most important thing? No. The relationship is the most important thing. But if we sit in silence for 40 minutes of a 50-minute session, that's not valuable and it's not allowing us to engage in the way that we need to for the session to be therapeutically meaningful in the grandest scheme. Will it still be a meaningful session? Yes, because the relationship is preserved, but we still want to make sure that we're able to speak. So what we do is actually, Julia, what you did. So I hope that you feel very proud when you said you split the difference and let a little more time go by in between your responses. That's one of the most effective strategies. So immediately we reflect back to the child, oh, you don't want me to talk. Or you don't like it when I say things. Or you're asking me to leave you alone. Okay, so we absolutely are going to respond immediately with a reflective response, which is ironic because they just told us not to talk. I'm aware. But we need to acknowledge what was shared or expressed, either emotionally or content. And often, then we just pace out our responses. So we do let more time go by and see if that was enough space and enough break that the child can receive the response. Because sometimes if we are normally responding every 5-6 seconds and we go 15 seconds, the child feels that we honored their request to stop talking. So we would actually extend the frequency of our responses. And that's a gauge, because if we wait 15 seconds and go, oh, you grabbed that. And they go, I said, stop talking. Okay, well, then they're not ready yet, right? So there's an indication that we need to continue pacing it out. Another option is when we do respond, we whisper it, because that's trying to honor the fact that the child doesn't want us to talk. So we're no longer talking, we're whispering. That's a little bit of a workaround, not to be manipulative or coy, but if a child says, don't talk to me, we wait a little while and then we say, oh, now you're going to do that. And we see if they can receive the whisper. Sometimes just the reduction in tone and volume is a little bit more tolerable for a child. So we're going to try the whisper. And then if the child continues to tell us that they don't want us to talk or they want to be left alone or whatever the command is, then we're going to give a little bit more of an extensive response. You don't like it when I talk to you, but the way that I make sure that I know what's happening when you play is that I share what I see you doing or what I hear you saying. So the why matters in this case. Because we can't just not talk, but we also can't just continue doing our job because the child will feel dismissed and unheard and invalidated, etc. So sometimes explaining the why matters. So you don't like it when I reflect your, or you don't like it when I tell you what you were feeling, but that's how I make sure that I understand you. Or you don't want me to talk, but when I tell you what I see you doing, that's to make sure that I'm aware of what's happening when you play. So if we can throw in a why, often there at least is a little bit less of resistance or power and control need. Because while they still may not want you to talk, they now at least understand why you are responding in that way. And let's face it, no one speaks to kids this way. So it's also uncomfortable and awkward for them. No one in their life reflects their feeling and reflects their content and tracks their behavior. So if they're already emotionally charged, either because of power and control needs or because of resistance, then it would make sense that they are going to bristle at you responding in ways that seem weird to them. So that also alleviates the weirdness because now they know why you're, quote, talking so weirdly, right? So that's really important as well, that we sometimes, after they won't let up, help them understand the rationale behind the kind of responses that we're giving. And then my final thought is that when the child said, "I'm done," and left the room, that leads me to believe it absolutely was resistance. I wanted to paint both options, but I think it was definitely resistance. When a child does not want to play and says that they're done, that's almost always indicative of really being fearful of what's coming and they're trying to avoid it. And as a general rule, the play session is the amount of time, always. So for us, it's a therapeutic 50-minute hour. I know some therapists do 45, but a 50-minute in my center therapeutic hour means that the child is in the playroom for 50 minutes. Now, sometimes they refuse to go back to the playroom, so sometimes we have a 50-minute therapeutic hour in the lobby, or sometimes we have a 50-minute therapeutic hour in the hallway. But the moral of the story is the 50 minutes is the 50 minutes. So Julia, when you said, should I have allowed him to end the play session early? That would have actually been a limit, because you want it to be clear that the child can choose what they do during the playtime, but the playtime has a set amount of time. So as the child is playing, if they say, "I'm done," you would reflect that and set a limit. So you might say, "Oh, you've realized that you don't really have anything else you want to play with right now, but we still have 20 minutes left. You can choose to play with anything you choose, or you can choose to not play. It's up to you." And then it's very clear, we still have time left. You are not forced to talk. You are not forced to play. You are not forced to do anything, but our time is not up yet. So one of the things that Landreth talks about extensively is playtime can't be earned, and it also can't be lost. So that's another reason why we're very adherent to a play time, because I have worked with therapists that unknowingly, like, the child was doing something or saying something or not doing something or not saying something, and the therapist made the decision to end early. And that can be so detrimental, because now all of a sudden there's an agenda. "Well, you weren't talking, so we're just going to be done for today." Or, "Well, your behavior was so out of control, so we're just going to be done for today." Well, now all of a sudden there's expectations and there's agenda. So playtime is playtime. It can't be earned. It can't be lost. And therefore, it's a full 50 minutes. You have complete control over how those 50 minutes go. And if you are resistant and you do not want to play and you lay on the floor and pretend that you're taking a nap, that is 100% your choice. But 50 minutes go by and then the session is over. So we do want to make sure that we're making it very clear that our therapeutic hour is a therapeutic hour regardless of what's going on in play sessions. So Julia, thank you so much. I hope that that's helpful for you. I hope that's helpful for all of us, because we definitely will face children pretty regularly, actually, that tell us that we're not allowed to do our job. And then my final thought is, just kind of to sum this up, if at any point you feel that an enlargement is warranted in a scenario like that, that is always helpful to help the child understand what's driving that kind of behavior. So, "You don't like it when I talk. It makes you feel uncomfortable. You would just rather play in silence." Some kind of statement like that is powerful, because they are responding to emotions and they don't often know what's going on cognitively for themselves, especially not at 3. And we're always trying to enlarge when appropriate so that they can connect. You know, that forms a bridge between the head and the heart. And as the child is refusing or power struggling or resisting, being avoidant, whatever the scenario is, it's helpful to give them that perspective of what the bigger picture is. And it's not just the emotions. There's all kinds of things that are, you know, internally taking place for you. So if it's a power and control issue, we might enlarge, you know, you're in charge when you're in here and you like ordering me around and telling me that I can't talk. So those are the kinds of phrases that we might throw in as well, in addition to the reflective response, the responses that we might give. All right, y'all. If you would like to ask a question, you certainly can email me and do so. You can also join the collective, and then you get live Q&A twice a week. So that's always another option, ccptcollective.com. And that's an online community exclusively for CCPTs. We have a lot of fun in there. All right, y'all. Super grateful for every one of you. Hope you have a lovely week. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.